From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. According to the Centers for Disease Control, since its first reported cases 25 years ago, AIDS has killed more than 500,000 Americans. From that point on, researchers have been on a frantic hunt for a cure. Today, we begin a three-part series that will take us from Philadelphia to South Africa and back again. We'll talk to those hardest hit by the disease in America and to policymakers whose decisions can mean thousands of lives saved or lost. We start here at home. NPR producer Corey Turner put together a sound montage using voices of four very different brave Americans. As you'll hear, the only thing the four have in common is being HIV positive. But for them, that's a lot.
A few years ago, you know, I was living with my mom and things wasn't so great. They used to always tell me I wasn't pretty enough and, you know, different things. And my dad was never in my life, so I call myself going out to find love my own way.
My name is Jonathan Perry, and I'm 29 years old. I found out I was HIV positive when I was 23 years old. That was when I got my diagnosis in January of 2001. I know who infected me. He told me that he had infected me intentionally, I found out later on, because he felt like if he couldn't have me, he didn't think anyone should have me.
I contracted the AIDS I had a drug history. I was very promiscuous. I'm not sure exactly who I contracted it from, but it was due to my promiscuity that I caught the virus.
My name is Gladys Gutierrez, and I'm 47 years old. And I've been HIV positive for over 20 years now. I got it through blood transfusion when I was having my kids.
My son was about 9 months. I got real sick and went in the hospital. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. They was doing like hepatitis tests, anything, spinal taps. I found out one night, I guess they got the test results back late. A nurse came in with a whole bunch of pills. My mother was in the room with me. So I'm like, well, I know what this pill and I know what this pill is, but what's the rest of these pills? And she's like, these are HIV medicines. And I'm like, no, you got the wrong person. I don't have no HIV. She's like, yes, it's in your chart right here.
It felt like somebody had pumped ice water into my veins. I got cold and I smiled because I didn't want anyone to know what was going on. My closest friend at the time who went with me to get my results asked me when I came out. She was like, Jonathan, you're smiling really big, so your results were negative. I looked at her, and for the first time since I'd gotten the diagnosis, tears welled up in my eyes, and I smiled, and I said, in delay, it was so positive.
I've had full-blown AIDS. I was diagnosed on September 13th of 1996. When I was first diagnosed, I was in a pretty bad way because I was in the hospital, and I was diagnosed with PCP pneumonia. And I was pretty much on my deathbed. I couldn't breathe. I remember pushing the button so that the nurses can come in because I was losing my breath. And all I remember is the doctors coming, rushing into the room. And the next thing I remember, it was 3 days later.
When they told me, I just ran in the corner and cried. It was hard for me to tell my daughter, especially because I only have one daughter. And I told her, I have something to tell you, but I don't know how. And she tells me, well, Mom, just write it on a piece of paper. So I gave her my lab work, and it had all the information on it. And we cried together, and she hugged me. So it was like I didn't take it as a death sentence, where my sister, she used to shoot dope. And she was diagnosed with the virus, and she didn't know about the medication, and she committed suicide.
The pills, I was taking like 6, 7, 8, 9 pills a day, and trust me, the medicine is no joke. Luckily, I'm on liquid medicines. I've been taking it for about 5 weeks straight, not missing a dose. I'm still like, no, not me. It can't be. I'm too young. You know, I guess you never think things can happen to you until it really hits home.
Well, I've been openly gay since I was about 17. I got kicked out of college for being gay. Southeastern College of the Assemblies of God in Lakeland, Florida. They told me I couldn't come back to that school because I was immoral. That Sunday, the pastor stood up in the church and from the pulpit called me a faggot. After doing that, he says, Jonathan, as of 9:45 this night, I turn you over to Satan so that you might be saved. You're no longer welcome that first assembly. That was when enmity set in between me and my God.
I'm a single lesbian mother. I have an 18-year-old daughter. So when she was 8, the best way that I could explain it to her was that mommy has bad blood. A bad day is like when I'm alone.
You know, when my sister killed herself, she probably thought that she was alone. But that's one thing, you're not alone. Because since I found out that I'm positive and I'm open with it, it seems like I have more people around me. I have more love than I did before. And if my sister would have just, you know, gave us the chance to show her that.
Dang, this the prime of my life. I should be out, you know, going out, traveling, and, you know, just experiencing a lot of different things, going out, meeting people from all parts of the world. And I can't do that because it seemed like every time I open up to someone, they turn their back on me. Or they take my kindness for weakness, and it's hard, you know. Some nights I cry myself to sleep because it's like, I wish I didn't have this. If I didn't have this, my life would be so much easier.
I'll be flat out honest with you. When I first found out I was positive, I wasn't telling anybody my status. And the reason was, I wasn't ready to deal with it yet. A lot of that changed when in 2002, I met this guy. I believe this was my soulmate, but I messed it up, you know, because I was still dealing with my issue of my status. And I had sex with him because I thought all it was just a hookup. I said, well, if you really love me, there's something I need to tell you. And he went down this list. What, you got a girlfriend? I said, no. What, you got kids? I said, no. You got somebody pregnant? No. And he kept going and going. I was like, the truth is, I have HIV. And he sat on the phone and he cried for 45 minutes. And he told me, he said, Jonathan, he said, if God can forgive you, so can I.
I don't know. I just want my children, you know, to grow old with me. You know, I want to be there when they have children. I want to be there when they're graduating from college. I want to be there. But some days I don't think I can make it.
My good day, a good day really is me talking and seeing my daughter, who just turned 18 on July 2nd. Because I never thought that I would live to see her turn 18. Like I said, I was diagnosed when she was 8. My dream would really be to see her walk down the aisle in college. A friend of mine told me I probably would be no more good. I'd probably be speechless. I'd probably be passed out. They'd have to pick me up and take me out to graduation, because that will be the end-all, be-all for me.
If I get lonely or whatever, I call my daughter and tell her, bring me the baby. And sometimes my daughter goes, well, Mom, I'm picking you up. We're going dancing tonight. And we're going to do this, so we're going to do that. We go camping. And we do everything. And the other day, my daughter was supposed to come pick her up. So I said, well, Shanice, let's lay down and watch some TV. And she went and she got the small pillows, and she came and she plopped them up and gave them to me and started rubbing my head. And it's moments like that that makes me want to live, you know.
I know my life is like, okay, I'm 24, I have full-blown AIDS, I'm living on my own, no family support, no anybody, but it made me open-minded. Like, I see things in a different way. And I think having this made me a better person, to tell you the truth.
I've had so many conversations with people who don't use protection, who don't think it's important. Because I can talk about myself today, I let them know that I'm positive, and they say, wow, you look so good. And my conversations with so many people who are in shock by looking at me now use protection. My motto has always been, if I can save one life while I'm here, then my job is done. And I think I've already saved quite a few lives.
I'll be starting school in September, And they named a certificate after me for courage and adherence. And they're paying for my tuition so I could become a public speaker and I could be certified. And my goal is to teach as many people as I can about the virus and let them know that you can't die off of this. And I'm like, sometimes there's trials out there that you could try, and I plan to do some of them too so I could help find a cure for it.
Sometimes, you know, I might see some little young girls that might be cursing, and you can tell that they're having sex, you know, from their body language and the way they talk. And, you know, I'm like, you know what, it ain't nothing out here for you. And I would stop and I would say something. And I think, as you know, I might not touch and reach everyone, but if I reach one or two or three people, I made a difference in somebody's life. And that makes me feel good.
I remember this morning I was on my way to work and I was riding the 212, the bus. You know, I got a vision in my head, and it was a field of people, all black people, because we're the ones who suffer the brunt of this disease. Piles and piles, as far as the eye could see, of black people just dead. And then I got another glimpse, and this is the hopeful part. I saw those people rising up. Black people were starting to take responsibility. They were starting to care about themselves. They were starting to care about their friends, their family. They started rising up. They started overcoming. They started fighting this disease. They started seeing it for what it was. It made me cry because there's hope. There's hope.
That was Jonathan Perry, 29, of Los Angeles. Gladys Gutierrez, 47, of Philadelphia. Sherry, 24, of Philadelphia, and Vanessa, 46, of New York. To hear extended versions of their interviews, go to our website at npr.org. And tune in tomorrow. We'll look at the impact AIDS is having a half a world away.